Tragedy is this, we're told tonight that the average Christian in their lifetime will never read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, not one time. What a tragedy. The greatest book ever written and given to man, a love letter from God, a commission from God, and we don't read it. And we claim we're His. What a tragedy that the average, and I think I fault myself and pastors for this, and I believe our pastors would say the same, the average Christian will live and die and never lead one soul to Christ. When that happens under my watch, I feel like I'm responsible. I'm to train God's people. What a tragedy that we don't learn. I was through Bible college and earnestly tried to be a soul winner. I'd never seen it done. I'd go out past tracks. I did a door-to-door survey one summer every single day of my life, surveying a city with a heart, but I didn't know how to win a soul to Christ. I received an A+ in the class. Personal soul winning, but because I never had seen it done, I didn't know how to do it. All I had to do was to see that man who's been our missionary now for 40 years, and about 44 years ago as a layman, he showed me by demonstration. I watched him win a little boy to Christ, Cornbread. And when Cornbread got saved that day and his brother, and we went to the apartment and mother got saved, it's been really smooth sailing since. But I learned it not from a college. I learned it from a Hispanic man that worked in a company that showed me, demonstrated how to be a soul winner as a layman. What a tragedy that we'll live and we'll die and never read the Bible from cover to cover. We'll never win a soul. I don't know about the numbers about this, but I have been told the average Christian family will never have family Bible time. You might call it a Christian altar. I don't know what you call it, but we'll never pray together. What a tragedy. Mrs. Treber and I, we cannot say that we have the greatest prayer time every night, and there are some times, and I'll hear her laugh, and she's smiling already, because during prayer I'll fall asleep, and I'm not proud of it, but I'll fall asleep while I'm praying. But we pray every night, and we have burdens in our heart, and every night we pray together. Isn't it tragic that you'll sleep in the same bed with that man or that lady and never pray together? How in the world do you expect to raise kids or be grandparents? How in the world do we expect to keep our marriages intact when we're not even praying with one another? What a joy and a privilege it is for you to have a little child being brought up your house and sing to them at night, Jesus loves me, this I know. But many children have never heard that. Raised in Christian homes. Tonight, what a tragedy. Lastly, to say this. When I say lastly, I'm not talking about lastly in the message. Lastly, in my first warm-up introduction. You got a little nervous there for me. I got nervous. You didn't get nervous. You got excited. What a tragedy that people will live and die and never serve God. Never serve God. This morning I spoke to you about serving with the man of God. And tonight I want to speak to you about serving the God of the man of God. I want you to serve with me, and I want us to serve together. I was told years ago by an old preacher, I don't know who it was, but I'm certain he's with the Lord now, and he said, everyone ought to be a pastor or a preacher, or you ought to help a preacher. My job is to equip you for the work of the ministry. The Holy Spirit gifted you one of many gifts in the Bible. He gave you the gift, whatever it may be, of giving, the gift of the gift of teaching, the gift of helps. God gives gifts. That's in the Bible, friend. God gave you something, 1 Corinthians 12, at salvation. You can study it, 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans chapter 12 or Ephesians chapter 4. God gave you something. And with that something, he expects you to use it for his glory. Are you supposed to be a Sunday school teacher? Then why aren't you? Are you supposed to help and be a help in the bus ministry? Then why aren't you? God has equipped all of us with gifts and or talents that ought to be used for God. Tonight, I want us to look at this psalm. I recall this psalm so much because it was the year 1962. My Sunday school was in an abandoned roller rink. And they used to skate in that roller rink. It now had no electricity, no heat, no air. We had holes in the roof, and when it rained, it came on in there. It was around the corner from our church. And I remember as we went that night, that day, Clarence Nelson, he said, our junior church pastor, we're going to have a verse down contest. And we for weeks had every week Bible memorization. We would have passages. We would compete against one another. And it came to the final day. And there on that final day was Jack Treiber and his twin sister Jill Treiber. And I'll tell you what, Jill was smart. She was brilliant. She had good grades in class and in school. And Jack had a good time in life. There we were, knowing, and it came to Psalm 100. And as we got to Psalm 100, she froze. Praise God. And I felt sorry for her. And she froze and could not remember the first word to get started. And then she got nervous. And then he said, Jack, how about you? And with pride in my heart, humility in my heart, God allowed me for the first time in my life to win one trophy I've had in my entire life, and it was about this tall. Only trophy I ever got. That second verse says this. Three words. What's the first three words, church? Say it together. Ready? Serve the Lord. That's not a suggestion. That's not a good idea. That's Bible. And God says, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. God wants me to serve him. And tonight, as we look at this scripture, I want us to understand this evening that first of all, God says to us that we're to serve him. Where'd those glasses go? I'm so tired of glasses. Where did I put those things now? Where'd they go? What are they doing over there? Thank you, my brother. Serve the Lord. Serving is, thank you, putting effort into it, energy into it, enthusiasm in it. I will serve thee because I love thee. Thou hast given life to me. On this eve of this pastor's conference, I challenge them at North Valley Baptist Church and all of us. We don't sit to sour and soak. We are here to serve the King of Kings. There's something we ought to do. Oh, I tell you what a joy to serve God. Some serve and then they turn back. Oh, I can remember as a boy we sang, and shall I turn back into this world? No, not I. Not I. And shall I turn back? I don't want to turn back. I don't want to turn in. I don't want to turn over. I want to keep pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Don't you surely love serving God? I love being a pastor. I love it. I love being a preacher. I love being a Christian. I love our Sunday school class. I love to sing with the saints of God. I love to tithe. Oh, Brother Poosa, I like that. What a joy to have a staff member that gets audited by the IRS. What's wrong with the rest of you guys? It's called the tithe envelope, fellas. I'm talking about, I haven't been audited either on that. Of course, maybe we're more truthful looking than you. Maybe not. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. I can remember, I think the last song I heard my dad sing in this church, by and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, I wish I had given him more, more, so much more. I don't believe you get to the last day of your life and say, I just gave too much. Sister Tinnell, I mentioned, I think it was a week or two ago, about your grandfather, as he was, Dr. Curtis Hudson, ebbing away, and Bobby Robertson went to go see him. And he was known as the greatest soul winner in our country. Great preacher, great pulpiteer. And he said, with just that little feeble body of under 100 pounds, I've done so little for Christ. And though he did so much, don't you want to do more? I want to do more. I looked at my tithe, our tithe, my wife, I had my tax appointment too. And I looked at that tithe, and I'll tell you what, I'm thanking God. It's because God's people have been so good to us. But I tell you what, we're just simply a funnel. Amen. And you give to us, and we give back to the work of God, and we don't count it a drudgery. It is wonderful to serve God. It's wonderful to be a choir member and serve God. It's wonderful to sing a solo or a duet or a trio. It's wonderful to work in the sound ministry or the security or the nursery. It's wonderful to work as an usher or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a bus worker. Serve the Lord. Everybody's serving something or someone. What are we serving? I'm in this thing. I just believe that his coming is nigh. I don't plan on a casket. I'm planning on going higher someday. Oh, out of this world by the way of the rapture. It's coming soon. Can't you see it? I don't know God's timetable. My old grandfathers, I never saw one, the other I just saw twice. But my old grandfathers were old Germans, born in 1887, both of them. And they were old German men that worked in the fields and worked in the factories in the Midwest. But I'll tell you what, there were lay preachers as well on Sunday preaching in German to those folks. And my mother, my dad would tell me, they'd say our dads would preach as laymen that Jesus is coming soon. And I can recall my mother saying, if they thought Jesus was coming in about the 1920s, 1910s, what do you think they would think about 1960s or 70s? What do you think they'd think about 2018? Serve God. I was visiting just a few days ago with one of the good men in our church. I was talking about an area of service that would be a little bit more preeminent. Not that I'm trying to, and there's no such thing as a preeminent ministry. But I said, Pastor, God's given me a Sunday school class. And I've had it for years. And I, as a young father, several kids, he goes, I want to get old teaching that class. Thank you for the offer, but I want that Sunday school class. There's a passion in his heart. There's a desire. You young college boys, what in the world are you thinking to try the ministry? If it works, it works. Get in and stay in. Serve the Lord. I said that song, and I know my wife knows it so much, 582. I don't regret a mile I've traveled for my Lord. And I don't regret the time I've trusted in his word. I've seen the days go by, many days without the sun, but I don't regret a mile. I don't regret once. I'm not saying the Sunday school lessons were all the best, but I don't regret being a Sunday school teacher. I don't regret that you dear people said a handful of you back so many years ago now, would you come? And I couldn't believe it. And I stood on that first Sunday morning, and for the first time in my life, I preached 3 times in one day and equaled my preaching experience in the past. And on Sunday morning, Sunday night, we had about 20 people there that night. But I did not forget Sunday morning in that little A-frame building. And I preached on Sunday morning, John 3:16. And I tell you, I just loved preaching. I won't say I was good at it. I just loved it. I loved it. And I gave the invitation. And 5 adults in that little auditorium all walked forward and they said, we want to get saved. I'll never forget it, Brother Manuel. Oh, a happy day. Serving God. Sweeter gets the journey every day. Serving Jesus really pays. You might be in Denmark or over in Hungary or over in Ireland, or you might be, what else do we have here? Over in New Zealand, however he talks. Where are you, brother? Oh, I love that. What a joy to serve God. Old Gene came to our church through basketball, probably in the late 50s. And then he went all off to Pillsbury Baptist College. Those old days, there was Pillsbury and Bob Jones and Tennessee Temple. That was it. And Gene went. And then he married Peggy. I'll never forget that, 1965. And when he got married, and then they went to France. And Gene stayed there for over 50 years, and 2 weeks ago died. And his kids are serving with them there, and married kids and grandkids. Oh, what a joy to think here's a guy that just was saved coming to our church and heard about salvation, shot some hoop, but what a godly man he was. Served God a lifetime. What a thrill. I won't talk week after week about my dear friend, Brother Bobby Robertson, but see him in that casket. And to think he gave his life, every day of his life, to serve God. Every day of his life, serve God. Visiting people, praying, going to the hospital, checking on people, preaching the Word of God, on the radio, serving God. Say, oh, you ought to take more vacations. We are so prone to always take the 3-day weekend to get rested, coming back tired. We're protective of our class. We're protective of this pulpit. I believe in vacation. I do, but not a lot. I know the books are out there now that tell us just the opposite for preachers, written by guys that have no idea. How can you stay away from your people? How can you not have a passion in your heart? He said, well, I just believe you'll do better. I'm getting pretty old, and I'm not old. Stand right with it. I want to be with my wife. Yeah, I got to spend another day with her. Well, I got to spend another week, another meal with her. No, sir. And so often as we're eating, I'll think, one of these will be the last meal. And it might not be that you have to be old to pass away. It might be your last meal with your family, sir. Those little kids, that dear precious wife or that husband. And we might want to just say, I need to, every week. There was a one at the door last week with cancer. There was one at the door today visiting with cancer. And I said, can you just pray with me? Sure I can. Sure I can. I want to say, I don't know how many days you all have left. But God says, teach us to number our days. If you live in that text to be 70, it's 25,550 days. If you live to be 70, you're 69. According to the scripture, you got 365 days left. You might go to 80, or you might go to 90 or 100. I don't know, but friend, our time to serve God is limited. I'm talking about serving the God or the man of God. I love serving God. I want you to notice with me Not only do we see that we're supposed to serve the Lord, as we serve, we're supposed to shout. Shout! That's what we're supposed to do. Make up! Make up! Verse 1. Make up! What's the next two words? Joyful noise unto the Lord. United States of America. Know all ye lands. The shout. Wherever you went, right there. Thank God for the shout. How can you not? You get married. You may kiss the bride. Oh boy. No big deal. Oh yes, it is. Someone just claimed you, and some of us, it's a miracle anybody want us. We're to serve the Lord with a joyful noise. I don't want to pastor a dead church. Well, how do you become alive? Go serve God. Serve the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Verse 2, come before His presence with serve the Lord with gladness. It's joyful. It's gladness. It's happy. It's exciting. Verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. It's joyful. It's gladness. It's praising. Last year, I don't know how, every year there's a song. 2 years ago, I rest my case at the cross. Toward the end of the year, I said, man, I've been singing that all year. Year before this, pass me not, O gentle Savior. I love that song. And this last year, I've never gotten over getting saved. I've just never gotten over it. That I'm under the blood. And can you imagine? I hear our choir sing that once in a while. Can you imagine if they stand up there not joyful, not, and they don't, and then not with no gladness? I've never gotten over being saved. I've never gotten over being under. Forget it right now. God's grace. I can't help but get excited. And that old camp meeting way. Hey, hey. I've never gotten over getting saved. I tell you, very far from here. In a little church building with lanterns glowing that night, 1956, God reached down and saved my sorry soul. I've never gotten over it. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved. I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. I'm saved. I've never gotten over it. I've never gotten over it. My sweet wife got saved at family devotions with her mother. Her dad was over there in the 50s at Moody Bible Institute, and he'd be there during the week and studying as a farmer to be a preacher. And mother was reading on the scriptures on Blackstone Avenue, and her brother Dwayne and my wife at family devotions got saved. They sat on the little porch out there waiting for the daddy to come home from Bible college and said, Dad, we got saved. How do you get over that? Serve the Lord. And then serve them with a shout. Amen. You know, I've never lost the wonder of it all. Since the day that Jesus saved me and a whole new life He gave me, I've never lost the wonder. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. And then to have a Sunday school class where we can bring others to Christ and go door knocking and soul winning. I want you to see, thirdly, not only do we serve the Lord and we serve with a shout to the Lord, we have to remember we're just sheep. Look at verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. There's nothing to boast of ourselves. We are His people. Ooh, that's a message right there. We're His people. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. We don't belong to ourselves. We're His sheep. His sheep am I. I'll go where You want me to go, dear Lord. Or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what You want me to say. I'll be what You want me to be. I heard on the radio this morning, I think it was Brother Martinez. I came in my study early this morning, and I heard you singing that song that we had at our wedding. Whatever He wants for us, His will we must do. Wherever He wants to send us, His will we must do. If He but speaks, I'll obey at His voice. We've already decided His will is our choice. Whatever He wants, we're just His sheep. We're His children. He can direct us where He wants to. Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for that church in Colorado that called back with those 9 people and said, you're too young and you're inexperienced and we don't want you to be our pastor. Lined up to go preach. They said, we don't want you. Thank you. I'm glad for that church up in Northern California that said, we found out how old you are. You're too young and you have no experience. And I'm glad for that just little nucleus of people with a 6-month-old church in Santa Clara, California. I remember in high school, my boss would send me over here to Santa Clara to work at the grocery store once in a while on El Camino. I remember those days when Chuck Wall would say, Jack, go over there to work today. Go to Santa Clara. And it was a drive about 20 minutes away, but it was a big thing, not all the freeways like we have now. And who'd ever think that God would let me pastor in Santa Clara, California? God moved and shaped and directed my path. God wants something from you. I want us to know to serve the Lord is wonderful. And to serve Him with a shout is wonderful. And to serve Him as a sheep, it's wonderful. And then lastly, I want you to say this. I want us to see it. We serve Him with singing. It's just a natural thing for a Christian to do. We serve Him. We just burst out singing. Look what the Scripture says. My Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Holy lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I don't want to come to the pulpit without a song in my heart. I don't want to come to prayer without a song in my heart. I don't want to do anything without singing. Oh, sometimes I'll get driving down the road and I'm by myself and I'll turn on that rock station, KNBBC.com radio. And I listened to Brother Moyer's station he's created here 8 years ago, the Christian radio, 24 hours a day. And sometimes, I tell you what, it gets on. We're having a revival. I turn that sound up loud, real loud. And I out-sing the singer. I can sing as loud as you, Martinez. I'll tell you that right now. Or Martinez, just like Brother Tony calls you. I can sing. Oh, I've got lungs to sing. And I'm shouting away, and I'm on El Camino, and I'm at a stop sign, singing away, having a time. And you know when you think someone's looking at you? I get singing, and I lift my hand, and I'll slap my hands together. Praise God! And I look over here and someone's looking. And then you have to fake it like something else is going on and you start talking to someone. Well, you say, that's deceit. I've done it. I'd rather be deceitful than a moron. I love the fact you're the singing church. Why? I've never seen a church serve like you. Ever. In my life. And when you serve God, it's just spontaneous. I've got something to sing about. I've got greatest thy faithfulness. Oh, God, my Father. We have our son. We haven't seen him in 5 months since he started his church. Brother Tim flies in. And we're going to sing his favorite song. You say, well, man, I wish I had my favorite song. Well, be my son. You're going to take care of me in my old age one day when I get old. His favorite song is Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. I hope his plane's on time so he can hear that tomorrow night. And if it's not on time, we're not singing it till he gets here. As I wanted to walk in here, he's been in that little school. They were down today in attendance. He said, we had so many people missing, but we, in our, what is it, 19th week, he had 89 on a down Sunday. And he said, we got a lady saved today. And I said, we got someone lined up for Easter Sunday to get baptized. I tell you, it's a thrill for me to know he's preaching the Word of God. But I want him to come back home, Brother Coburnett, and hear singing it. And hear shouting. He's not had a choir. All those months he's been there, no choir. He's not had a music director. He's the music director. He's not had a Tom Mapusin to come and receive the offering, or Brother Luke Flood to make the announcements, or someone else to do something, or Brother Martinez to welcome or sing the judgment. But he's coming home. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, what a powerful song. Are you serving God? Don't come to the end of your journey. You've never read your Bible from cover to cover. Don't come to the end of your journey and you never got an area to serve God and you never were happy about it. I'm one of those guys that my wife says I'm a nervous guy. I don't think so. I'm really calm. But I never set an alarm. Because I tell you what, I don't care how tired I am. If I go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, I'm wide awake. I'm ready to go. I'm fired up. Nobody has to get me, and I'm not getting up every day at 4, but shortly thereafter I get up, or I've been up through the night. Why? I'm loving what I'm doing. People say, well, you ought to slow down. Nonsense, you slow down when you're dead. I want to serve God. And I have a wife that wants to serve God. I have a family that wants to serve God. I said, well, don't you want to get an RV and tour the country? Are you nuts? We have tried that. I can have you every story you want. Tabitha, Dad, is that awning supposed to be following the trailer? No. Is it hitting the side of the road on the mountain? I had to report that. As I knock things off with that trailer, as the plumbing explodes on me, no, no, no. I don't want an RV. I don't want an RV. I would like a race car, but not an RV. You know what? I'm so grateful that you let me be your pastor. Serve God. Let's stand together and read that psalm, shall we? As we stand together, ready, begin. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pastures. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I know God's talking to people tonight about serving him full time or serving him with whatever gift or talent he gave you. And let's get in this a lifetime. Our heads are bowed, the altar's open. Our Father, tonight, save the unsaved tonight.